Hey guys, Baron Liddy here, back for another episode of the Comeback Game podcast. And today I've got a good friend of mine, Alex Rodwell. After two major health challenges earlier in life, Alex has invested the last decade and a half wanting to understand everything he can about health, healing, and maximizing human potential. Alex is truly passionate about making a difference, and this year has founded the Vital Executive, a leading edge pathway for busy professionals that provides a complete inside out guide to less stress, better sleeping, and to be the best daily version of them while thriving. Alex, how you doing, mate?
Very well, thank you. Very, very well.
Excellent, mate. Great to have you on the show. And look, for all the viewers out there and the listeners here today, like, tell us a bit more about you and specifically what it is that you do.
Sure. So for the last decade and a half, really 16 years, I've been really passionate about wanting to understand as much as I can about health and healing and maximizing human potential.
Yeah.
And the really big driver behind that has been when I was younger, going through a significant health challenge. And then when I was a little bit older, going through another health challenge. And I just know the impact that things like stress, changes in sleep, just changes in vitality, and, you know, the way that that can really pull you off center in a way. And have an impact on, you know, your ability to perform in business, but also to enjoy like an optimal lifestyle. So I've been really passionate about wanting to understand everything I can so I can help people to make a shift, to make a change, to make a transformation. And that journey's taken me around the world. I've had the opportunity to study with some amazingly bright minds and to integrate a lot of those teachings into a pathway that I'm super inspired to share.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's funny you mentioned the sleep thing, because I'm seeing a lot more studies done and a lot more articles posted around the importance of sleep and the impact that makes on your life. And it's just, I think it's quite interesting, because for a long time there's been the coaching, there's been the coaching trend around beliefs and around our value structure and things like that, which are all, I feel, really, really important. But I know certainly for myself, over the last 12 months, something that's been vital is making sure that I've got adequate or having adequate sleep. But also really making sure I'm nurturing myself from a physical being perspective. Because if someone's wanting to go out there and create a phenomenal life for themselves and to create, you know, a thriving business, it kind of comes down to having enough energy to sustain that, both emotionally, spiritually, and mentally as well. So, you know, what I'd love to kind of dive into a little bit, though, is like, what's brought you to where you are right now? Like, what have been some of the challenges that you've faced in your life that have kind of put you on the path and the trajectory that you're on right now in creating such an inspirational change?
Yeah, sure. So, one of the first challenges that I went through in kind of around about age 8 was experiencing a whole bunch of problems with asthma, allergies, bedwetting, anxiety, and just feeling really restricted. So that feeling of restriction, like, it wasn't just in my mind, it was definitely expressing in my body. And that was kind of something that, was really there from early on in life, was definitely there around that youth heading into teens. And then, you know, also has had kind of like little echoes that have, expressed, further into life, even up until, the last few years. So it's been really interesting to notice, obviously I survived that health challenge back when I was younger, but it's been really interesting to notice how those echoes have kind of played out and to find a pathway to really be able to have a reliable strategy to switch off that stress response and literally to just get back into that zone of well-being and that zone of flow. It's been a journey for me, but it's become really a passion.
Mm. And yeah, you consult with thousands of people every year, and I'm curious to know, like, what are some of the challenges, or what are some of the issues that one might face through lack of sleep or stress in the system, and some of these other things that you see and treat so often?
Yeah, so really they're huge and far-reaching. On the surface, if our body's not functioning at 100%, sometimes you can notice things like tight shoulders. You can notice things like tension through the jaw, headaches, sometimes a little bit of you're a little bit more reactive. So, you know, maybe there's some light or some sound or, you know, something happening in a family dynamic or something happening between colleagues, and it can just sometimes be easier to trigger. So they're kind of like more mild things like that. And then more moderate, you know, our body is designed to thrive, but it's also designed to be in a stress response short term. We're not designed, in fact, no human beings or animals are designed to be in the stress response long term. And some of the more far-reaching impacts of that can, you know, start to impact the digestive system, which can impact gut health. Obviously, you know, once that starts to happen, things like the neuroendocrine system can start to kick in. So things like our glands and our hormones can start to get out of whack. And another thing that happens when the stress response is switched on long term is our body creates inflammation. And the best way that I can describe that is it's like an internal stressor, internal kind of like almost like an internal flame, but not like a good kind of flame of being alive in enthusiasm or passion. It's kind of like a flame that's almost like a consuming flame. And inflammation has been linked, if you do the research on PubMed, with pretty much every single chronic disease state known to man. And what I've seen is that so many people come in and, you know, I'm chatting with someone and, you know, the stress response has been there, and there are signs and there are symptoms that there can be early warning signs. But a lot of the time when I see people, it's been going on, you know, for days, weeks, months, years, or decades. And at that stage, you know, often it's manifesting in quite significant ways.
So what sort of the long-term health challenges does that present to somebody who is under the stress response for a long period of time? Because I know from, you know, my own experience, and certainly people that I've worked with, is that, you know, someone, like you said, that the body is designed to be able to cope with that amount of stress for a short period of time. Like, we have that safety mechanism in us.
Yep.
Yet often what we find happens, and you might want to talk about this too, is it gets stuck. Is we get stuck in that stress response, and that stress response becomes part of our day-to-day pattern, to the point where it becomes normal, to the point where it becomes part of day-to-day living. And, you know, we don't actually know any other life or know any other experience other than living in that stress response.
Yeah, absolutely. So probably the biggest impact, and we haven't really touched on this as yet, but probably the biggest impact that chronic stress has is on our thought process and also our emotions. So in essence, if the stress response is switched on, we're going to be experiencing more what I would term as downward spiral emotions. So things like anger, aggression, blame, betrayal, criticism, challenge, despair, depression, just feeling stuck, feeling powerless, you know, and that's not necessarily we're going to be feeling that all day. You know, we might, you know, be, you know, working on something that we're enthusiastic about, but often, you know, when you finish the day, you finish your day's work, often you can come back and, you know, close the door, and then all of a sudden some of these types of feelings can start to kick in. So when this is happening, this kind of sets up a little bit of a loop. And for the purposes of this, we'll call it a thinking feeling loop. So, and the thing is that you can only think thoughts that are equal to your level of feeling. So it's really hard, for example, to feel happy or joyous or loving thoughts if your body is in a feeling of frustration. So when the body is in a chronic stress response, often some of those more downward spiral emotions can be at play. And when that happens, often our thinking kind of automatically kind of calibrates at the level that we're feeling. So often in order to actually change our thought patterns, we've got to actually look and see what's the pattern of feeling that's behind that can kind of get the system locked into a certain pattern or habitual way of being. And the reality is that stress hormones actually become, well, they can become quite addictive. We can kind of get used to that rush that we get when that frustration comes up, or when we're feeling, you know, some of those different downward spiral emotions. And really fascinatingly, when our body is in the stress response, we actually crave bad fats and we crave sugar. And the reason for that physiologically is that bad fats and sugar actually make up the building blocks for the stress hormones. So, you know, a lot of the time people are like, yeah, I like to eat well. I like to, lose some weight. I'd like to, you know, be the best version of me physically. But, you know, those stress hormones can certainly, you know, start to run the show on multiple different levels.
Yeah. Do you think that it works the other way around too? Like you said, it's very hard to have like thoughts of joy and love and appreciation and things like that if the body is locked up and it experiences stress. Do you think it also comes back the other way around? Like it's hard for us to feel joyful or happy or relaxed if our mind is locked up in a state of stress as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
And what you're saying too, it's like we get addicted to those stress responses. It's like, you know, what we know to be true is that far too often there's a secondary gain that's to be had. And I remember that when I started going to the gym a few years back, it's like I tried the whole eat healthy and be healthy thing. And I was trying to eat as well as exercise. And I found that it was never sustainable. Like it was too much of a shift for my body to go through one period of time. And so I decided to kind of just keep eating what I was eating, but started to go to the gym more often. What I found is that naturally, the more that I worked out and the more that I started looking after my body physically, the more that I started to crave better quality foods. It's like my body knew innately what I should be fueling it with, provided that I gave it a chance to tune into that and exercise in a way that allowed that to come through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 100%.
And I suppose, like in your experience, like how would one first identify that maybe that they're stuck in a patterning, a destructive patterning of survival, and then I suppose, you know, for people that know that they're stuck there, or people that are aware that they're stuck there, how do they start to shift that and move out of it? You know, like I've met a lot of people that are like incredibly stressed out. But to tell them to go and have a day off, or to tell them to go and like chill out, it just adds to that stress and anxiety they're already experiencing.
Yeah, look, I totally hear that, and you know, like yourself, I've probably been there at some stage. And to me, one of the best ways to know that our body is in a stress response, literally, there's kind of three main levels of feedback. There's feedback from our body, there's feedback from our mind, and then there's also feedback from our environment. And it's really wise to be able to tune in and to listen to each of those. So some of the things I mentioned before with the body is, you know, if you're finishing the day and you've got stuff done, but it's been kind of like hard work, and then you finish the day and you're kind of like, That's a sign that that this stress response may be going on to one degree or another. You know, on a mind level, again, if you're noticing, for example, let's say that you're working towards, you've got a goal on your plate that you're working towards, and it's something that's really important. It's something important for you. It's something important for your business. It's something important to move things to the next level. If you're finding that that in the pursuit of that goal, that you're kind of getting a little bit distracted from one side or the other, or you're just finding that progressing towards that goal is difficult. It's common that stress response can be running. And if you just kind of listen, take a little bit of time just to be mindful and to tune in and to listen to your self-talk, often you'll know when you're like in flow, you'll know when you're in that zone in the pursuit of your goal, because your mind is clear. There's no negative chatter. When you're not in that state of rapport with the direction that you're heading, that's often when, you know, other thoughts can come up, like, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or, you know, I'd love to do that, but I think I might, you know, lose some money if I did that, or, you know, these types of thought processes can come up. And that's a sign that, you know, that almost always there's going to be a stress response that's connected with that. The third is our environment. So, like you mentioned, if someone is consistently saying, you know, hey, Alex, or hey, Jim, or you know, it could really be anyone. But if someone's saying, you know, hey, Alex, hey, Jim, it'd be really good if you know, closed your computer, took a weekend off, you know, just relaxed, you know, and you know, found a little bit more of your center. If one person's saying that, then maybe that's just their opinion. But if two people are saying that, or there's three, or there's a couple of family members and a couple of colleagues, then that's the environment giving you feedback, and it's certainly wise to tune into that. So there's that internal feedback system. You know, some might call that our intuition, and then there's also the external, more social system that gives us feedback.
Yeah, and the intuition aspect of things, like I know that, you know, for me, the more that I've been able to stop and think and just be, you know, phone down, computer down, just time by myself, the more it's allowed me to build a relationship with myself in such a way that there's calibration there. There's calibration there that I kind of feel that when we get sick, when we get physically ill, that's kind of the last sign that something's out of alignment. You know, I feel that there's signs prior to us getting physically ill that we're maybe taking on a bit too much. We're burning the candle at both ends. We're experiencing a lot of stress. We're dealing with emotions. We're kind of being incongruent with our word or whatever's going on. But I kind of feel that it manifests last in physical sickness. You know, I feel that there's several comments or dialogues or whispers that happen before that physical manifestation of being ill. And I'd love to know your kind of take on that from more of a scientific level as well.
Yeah. So one of the big things with this is that you're absolutely right. Our physiology is the last center of feedback. So, so from a scientific level, our body produces these stress hormones, whether it's catecholamines or noradrenaline or cortisol. Basically, the two main families of stress hormones get us ready to fight or run away or hide literally hide or protect ourselves. So they're kind of two different types of stress hormones. The adrenaline-based ones are there to fight or to run away. The more cortisol-based one is actually there to have us, you know, kind of hiding or kind of freeze, staying stuck. And when those hormones are produced in the short term, not a problem, your body can clear them out. But when those stress hormones are produced long term, that's when, you know, those hormones long term can literally just wear the body down.
Yeah. So what I'd love to know is, like, how do you set yourself up for success? You know, like, you're in this field, you've studied it for the past 16 plus years. Like, what are some rituals or some habits or some things that you do? Because, you know, like, let's be honest, we all live in the same environment. We all have stresses, environmental stresses, day to day, week to week, month to month. But yet some people get sick all the time and some people never get sick at all. So what are some things that you do to set yourself up for success on a daily basis?
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I think doing what you love is incredibly important. When you're doing what you love, there's a passion about you that is palpable. You feel it. And it's something that actually draws to you the people, places, resources, you know, events that you need in order to thrive. So that would be absolutely number one, doing what you love. The second one I would say super important is finding your rhythms and your rituals. Now, I've been in private practice as a doctor of chiropractic for 11 years. This soon will be the start of my 12th year. And, you know, over that time, I think I've taken care of probably 50,000 people. And a lot of that work is, you know, it's very intense. It's, you know, it is intense as as a practitioner to be in that environment. So absolutely, self-care and also rituals is an incredibly important part of that. 10 years ago, I was really blessed to run the busiest solo practice in the state that I was living in at the time. And for me, the rituals started first thing in the morning. They started with moving my physical body. They started with, energizing my emotions. So going through and finding, something within me that, or something around me or something that was happening in my life that, that I was excited about. And then also taking the time just to speak some words, of wisdom or some words of affirmation, into life. To me, that's something that's incredibly important. It's always been something that I like to do in the morning, whether I'm doing it internally in more of a yin way, whether I'm doing it externally. Sometimes I literally will go out and do sprints and really just, allow the words that are in alignment with my heart and my journey to speak those out and to, really feel the resonance, the vibration of those words out into the world. So, to me as well, I think meditation and visualization is incredibly important. So just taking a little bit of time to literally go within and quieten the mind and just get present. And, if there's a goal that you're working towards, see it already done and, feel it already done and feel the alignment of that. So, to me, those would be like the key habits or the key rituals that I've found on a day-to-day basis can be really good. And then, of course, there are lifestyle habits like moving your body well, making sure that you're getting enough exercise, there's eating well. We could do a whole separate podcast just on any one of these. There's mind emotional hygiene. Switching off the stress response. There's things like sleep. There's just generally, all of those things really are pillars of health. And we want to make sure that, we want to make sure that we're covering, at least, each of those pillars, like 80% of the time, for the optimal expression of well-being.
Yeah. Where do you think gratitude and appreciation comes into daily practice?
Gratitude is huge. And to me, like I started a little while back a practice where I don't get out of bed until I actually feel a state of gratitude. And to me, gratitude is so important because it's literally the key that opens the heart. And then as we come into that heart-centered place, what actually happens is that it frees up this vitality to go to the mind. And when we're in states of gratitude, there's something about the way that our mind and our body work together. And in science, we actually call that state coherence. The Institute of Heart Math have been doing research on this topic of coherence for 26 years now. And there have been people that have done their PhDs on this topic. And when we get, to me, the mind divides, but the heart unites. So, and that the mind performs a very important function in dividing, in that we can analyze things and we can plan and we can use the executive functions of the brain, within time, within space to really, switch on those executive centers, which are our thinking, our planning, our logic, our reason, all of that, our being able to test and measure as a function of that executive part of the brain. And it's really important to be able to analyze and break down, where we are now, where we want to be, what the strategy is to get there, and, what's the fuel for change, what's going to stop us. All of those things are super important. The mind is great at a kind of almost like a master chef to be able to dice those up, when we have the correct training. But to me, to just have the mind to just operate at the mind level, there can be a limitation to that, because you know you can literally operate all the way up to an executive level just using the mind. But to me, when you have the mind and the heart, and you know, some of the most famous business people, executives, entrepreneurs, celebrities have discovered the power of the heart. And to me, gratitude is what unlocks that power of the heart. And the power of the heart is what unites. The mind wants to be competitive, but the heart wants to cooperate and collaborate and do great things. So to me, the mind is very much about the power of I and creating direction, whereas the heart is very much about the power of we. And we're living in a world today where, whether we're aware of them or not, there are real problems in today's world. And Einstein said that, a lot of significant problems can't be solved at the same level of thinking that they were created. He was exactly right. And often in order to go above a certain level of thinking that, some of these problems exist at, we actually need to go, rather than looking outside for solutions, we actually need to go within. So learning how to tap into the power of the heart is something that, unites individually. It unites our life. It creates coherence within our brain and our body and the cells of our body. And when every cell in our body resonates with something, with a core message, when every cell of our body resonates with, those goals that we're going after, when every cell in our body resonates with a dream or a vision, then it's on the way to coming to pass. So this unified field, helps us personally, helps us that we can access through the heart, helps us personally, from a well-being perspective, from a brain body performance perspective, but it also helps us as a collective. It allows us to build strong bonds and a strong family. It allows us to, make a difference in the community, because people now more than ever before in history are interested in who has the heart, because you feel it.
I really resonate with what you share there. If you look at the way that babies are created inside of their mother's womb, it starts with the heart and works out. And there's this thing that I've been noticing the last 10 or 12 years in my spiritual and practice and my practice around human behavior and human potential, that somewhere along the way, things got a bit lost. It's like, the brain is formed secondary to the heart. Yet upon growing up, we're taught to utilize our logic, and we're taught to think about things, think before you act. And if you look at kids, they naturally have a deep connection to their innate knowing and intuition. Mm-hmm. Long before logic and reason even comes into it, they know things that they have never been taught per se. And I see that what happens a lot is that people try to live their life constantly making decisions from their mind. Most people, because logically that's how we've been brought up. That's what's comfortable. That's what we've known to do. Yet if we're always making decisions based on our conscious mind, we're typically making decisions based on past experiences or based on out of date knowledge. It's something we've read in a book, especially the way that the world is evolving these days with, things like, the internet, but even more so, like more recently, artificial intelligence. It's like the world is progressing far greater and far faster than ever it is before. Yet we're not utilizing the thing that we've been given the most to have access to that in real time, which is that innate connection to what I'd call our heart, our spiritual heart, the connection to something that's far greater outside of ourselves than what it is, the energy, the environment that's outside of materialistic form. And I like what you share there, because gratitude, I think, is definitely one of the keys to be able to start to unlock that connection that we have with self, which once again further builds that intuition around whether or not we're experiencing that fight or flight response in life, whether or not things are out of alignment, and even more so, what to do to bring it back into alignment. Because I see what happens a lot. I spoke to a friend earlier today, and I'm like, "Oh, how was your day?" He's like, "Yeah, great." I was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" He's like, "I just got back from seeing a tarot reader." Now, personally, tarot readers are not kind of my thing. And I was like, "Oh, how'd you go? Like, what'd you get?" And he's like, "Oh, it was good and blah, blah." And I was like, "What are you looking for?" And he's like, oh, Darren, you know, I was just curious. I was like, well, no, what are you looking for? And I was like, the reality is, mate, is that you already know what you're looking for and you already know the answers. You're just not listening to yourself. And he's like, well, yeah, you're right. He's like, I was seeking external validation. I see that a lot is people are trying to grow these businesses or trying to grow these extraordinary lives, yet far too often they're seeking external validation for what they already know to be true within inside themselves. You know, and I think that coaches and mentors play a pivotal role around peak performance and around often showing us things we're not aware of in ourselves. But I also see that coupled with a deep connection to heart, a deep connection with appreciation and gratitude, and then connecting that back with inside of our mind, our logic and our thoughts of creation is a very powerful combination.
Absolutely, Barry. And more and more people are wanting to understand more about that. And the really beautiful thing, and I just love this, is that, you know, perhaps in times past, if you wanted to understand, you know, things like, the power of the heart, that connection to something greater, you literally almost had to, get dressed up in an orange robe and, leave your day-to-day world and your family behind and your job and all your possessions and, and go to somewhere strange and possibly mystical to hang out with people that make loud sounds early in the morning. And, I've been up to the base of the Himalayas and some of my journeys and studied with some Himalayan masters. And, that can be fun. But the reality is that level of teaching, is not practical for so many people. And what I love about the work that more and more people are bringing through is that you can actually get the basics quite quickly. I'm really blessed to have put together a little 21-day program for people that's just an introduction to meditation, to unlocking that power of the heart. It's for individuals, it's for, people in business, it's for leaders. And it's just a simple pathway that, just the beginning of a pathway really that, when you go through it, literally in 10 minutes per day, it's something that you can actually start to just take that 10 minutes to connect to you and to connect within and to start to unlock some of that wonderful wisdom and that power that's, within each and every one of us. And I'm a huge fan. I love going away for weekends and doing cool things, but I'm a huge fan. Like if you're doing 10 minutes a day and you're doing that daily for 21 days or for 3 months or for a year, I'm a huge fan of that, well over and above, going on a weekend away or, a week long retreat or, disappearing into the mountains for months. It's, in today's world, those things are fantastic and often have so much value to share. But in today's world, particularly our fast paced world and particularly our performance orientated world, to be able to have a practice that you can literally just tune into for, a short period each day that has an accumulative benefit, I think that's where the need is at.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're definitely seeing a shift in society around this. Like I remember when I started, my meditative practice and seeking answers within spirituality like 10 or 12 years ago, I remember people used to think that I was a dope smoking hippie and they weren't too far wrong back then. But, looking at things now, I see that as a society in whole, like so many people are turning to meditation for mindfulness and for relaxation and for spiritual evolution. And I think that it's really beautiful because it's becoming a lot more mainstream. And I think as a whole, consciousness is shifting, which allows it to be more readily available. And like you said, allows it to be more accessible than what it's ever been. And I remember that one of my earlier teachers said to me, he's like, the real retreat, the real practice is in daily life. Like it's easy enough to go and sit on a mountain by yourself and find inner peace. It's a lot harder when you've got someone driving up your ass, beeping at you at the lights, to still be able to be able to remain present to that and still be in a space of love or appreciation. I think that's great. Alex, how would people connect with you after this? How would they find you? Like where are you at?
Well, of course you can connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Dr. Alex Rodwell. You know, also if you're wanting to find out a little bit more about the 21-day program that I mentioned just previous, it's very simple just to log on to www.winning.dralexrodwell.com. So Dr. Alex Rodwell is all one word. And I assume that you can pop a link in the show notes or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's something that I do just as a gift, to me to know and not to share is like not to know. So for me, it's a gift that I put together, you know, to make a difference so that, you know, when you are in day-to-day life and, you've got stuff happening with the family and you've got a full schedule and then you've got your accountant and, you know, looking at P&L lists and all that kind of stuff, you want to know that, that for at least 10 minutes during that day, you can kind of go, okay, I'm going to just take a breather. And, yeah, and often just that few minutes can, you know, be a real big game changer.
Yeah. And like I said, too, consistency. I think that the least you can do is give yourself 10 minutes a day to kind of tune in with what's going on, because all the answers we seek are within inside. It's whether or not we're willing to be present for long enough to gain that insights. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dr. Alex Wadwell, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for your contribution and your time. This is Barry McGinnity with another episode of the Comeback Game podcast. Mate, any final words?
I just feel very strongly that there's a wisdom, there's a genius within each and every one of us. And right now, if you're not feeling on top of your game, then tell someone, you know, whether it's your partner or whether it's a friend, just say, hey, you know, things aren't going quite so well right now. You know, or maybe they're going well, but you go, you know what, you know, I'd like to find a way for things to be better. And having that conversation or starting that conversation with someone is so important, because, you know, there's been times in my life where, you know, speaking up has actually been hard. And the reality is that when that's happening, we're actually in this stress response. If there's something that you can't chat about, like be social about, there's actually this whole thing, you know, we could go into it in much more detail, but it's called polyvagal theory. And basically the top of the bottom of that is being frozen. And then there's fight and flight. And then there's being social. So if there's something that you're having challenges with, you know, don't keep it inside, find someone, just let them know. Even if they can't be the solution, then at least they can be there to support you, to say, hey, come and have a chat with Barry, or hey, come and have a chat with Alex. And, you know, let's get to the root cause of this. But you know, anytime that you're keeping something inside, it's a sign that the stress response is going, and ultimately that you're not safe, or at least that's your perception. So, you know, we're here as a tribe to make a difference. And, you know, and part of that is just knowing that, you know, you don't have to win all the battles, you know, on your own two feet. That, you know, we're here to help each other, to encourage each other, and, you know, and to celebrate the wins too. So those would be my last words for today.
Oh, I love that, mate. Thank you so much. And so, yeah, if you're watching this right now, you're listening to this, please share it around. Share it to someone that you think needs to hear this most, like, and let us know your thoughts. Comment below. Let us know what you loved, what you took out of this, and what you'd like to see more of. Dr. Alex Wadwell, once again, appreciate and I'm grateful for all that you do. And thanks again for joining the show.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to share a message today.